Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Money, Lies, and God. Inside the movement to destroy American democracy is Catherine Stewart's urgent investigation into the modern coalition that fuses political power, religious nationalism, and disinformation. Building on years of on-the-ground reporting, Stewart follows the money trails, messaging networks, and mobilization strategies that have transformed a once fringe project into a well-financed, disciplined campaign to reshape American government and culture. The book moves from megachurch pulpits and county party meetings to litigation hubs and donor networks, showing how discrete pieces of an apparatus fit together to erode pluralism, rewrite constitutional norms, and harden minority rule. Rather than treating the crisis as a series of disconnected flashpoints, Stewart maps the architecture, the dark money pass-throughs that flood state races, the legal outfits crafting test cases to change national precedent, and the faith-inflected media ecosystem that manufactures moral outrage and shields allies from accountability. The result is a storyline with clear through lines. Behind polarizing fights over schools, libraries, reproductive rights, and elections is a coherent strategy that aims to replace open, multi-faith democracy with a hierarchy that privileges a narrow religious identity and a partisan version of truth. Stewart draws out the human dimension too, introducing organizers, pastors, lawyers, and local officials whose work, in aggregate, amplifies power far beyond their individual reach. She shows how fear-based narratives, apocalyptic rhetoric, and a cultivated sense of grievance keep the base mobilized, while sophisticated legal and political engineering moves policy levers out of public view. Money, Lies, and God is not just a catalog of alarming developments. It is a guide to decoding tactics, recognizing patterns, and understanding where leverage points for civic action still exist. For readers seeking clarity about how we arrived at this moment and what might still be done to safeguard democratic institutions, Stewart provides a sober, meticulously reported roadmap. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the dark money architecture behind theocracy-oriented power. Stewart traces how financial engineering enables a minority ideological project to achieve outsized impact. She shows that what looks like spontaneous grassroots energy is often scaffolded by a layered funding system that obscures donors, multiplies influence, and sustains long campaigns that outlast news cycles. At the top sit patrons who use donor-advised funds, 501c3 and 501c4 entities, and non-profit pass-throughs to move large sums with minimal public visibility. These vehicles permit the same dollars to appear multiple times as they flow to media outlets, litigation centers, state policy shops, training academies, and election operations. Because disclosure rules are weaker for religious and charitable entities than for campaigns, money can be routed to church-based networks that pair political messaging with spiritual authority. Stewart explains why this matters. Policy change often hinges on patient investments in pipeline infrastructure, clerkships, fellowships, and networks that groom jurists and staff legislative writing shops, rapid response teams that draft model bills after a court decision, research factories that produce white papers for lawmakers, and talking points for media hits. The dark money architecture pays for that often invisible work. It also coordinates strategies across arenas. The same funders may underwrite a lawsuit, commission polling to refine the public framing, pay for digital ads to prime voters, and bankroll local organizations that generate community pressure. By spanning the legal, political, and cultural domains, this architecture turns isolated wins into durable power. A key dynamic Stewart details is asymmetry. Organizations built to negate or restrict popular policies, from reproductive rights to environmental protections, do not need majorities if they can capture veto points such as courts, state houses in gerrymandered maps, or regulatory bodies. Funding then concentrates on choke points that yield high return on investment. Meanwhile, complexity operates as a shield. When money moves through a maze of entities with righteous-sounding names, real intentions become harder to discern, and accountability is diffused. Stewart also illustrates how religious branding lubricates fundraising while conferring moral cover. Appeals framed as defending faith, family, and freedom motivate small-dollar giving, and encourage churches to function as distribution channels for political content. Tax status becomes both a legal shelter and a rhetorical mask. In the end, the architecture's success rests on its ability to convert wealth into long-horizon power without public consent or transparent debate, an outcome fundamentally at odds with democratic accountability. Secondly, disinformation as sacralized messaging and mobilization. In Stewart's account, disinformation is not a glitch but a feature, a strategic tool elevated to a moral mission. She documents how religious metaphors and spiritual warfare language sanctify partisan narratives, allowing political claims to be received as matters of faith rather than evidence. When a falsehood is cast as defending the faithful against malignant forces, fact checks look like persecution, and transparency looks like betrayal. This reframing builds a resilient shield around leaders and ideas, creating an information immune system that rejects correction. Stewart follows the pathways by which misinformation circulates: pulpits, church email lists, prayer groups, and men's and women's ministries serve as high-trust channels where congregants are predisposed to accept messages from familiar voices. Parallel media ecosystems, AM radio, podcasts, live streams, text chains, and closed social groups deliver a steady cadence of claims about stolen elections, sinister educators, or existential threats to children. Touring events mix worship with political programming, featuring charismatic speakers who build community through shared outrage and testimony. Attendees leave not only emotionally charged, but also equipped with scripts and action items tailored for school board mic time, local Facebook groups, and precinct meetings. The content architecture leverages repetition, simplicity, and moral clarity. Complex issues are reduced to good versus evil. Moving stories overshadow statistics. A rotating set of enemies, teachers, librarians, doctors, immigrants, secular elites, keeps the base engaged and provides a reason for escalation. New conspiracy narratives are stitched onto existing ones so that abandoning a false claim would entail a broader identity break. Meanwhile, influencers cycle through dubious studies and cherry-picked anecdotes that satisfy the appearance of research while insulating followers from mainstream expertise. Stewart emphasizes the downstream consequences. Disinformation corrodes social trust, which is the oxygen of democracy. It licenses harassment of public servants, normalizes threats, and drives attrition among election workers, school leaders, and health officials. It empowers legislators to pass sweeping measures under the banner of protecting children or religious freedom, while the public debates caricatures rather than the text of laws. Most insidiously, sacralized disinformation fuses political loyalty with spiritual belonging. To dissent becomes to defect from the faith community. That fusion is an engine of durable mobilization. It transforms turnout into obedience and policy preferences into articles of belief. Dislodging it requires more than debunking. It requires building alternative communities of trust, where truth-telling is linked to care and where shared civic reality can be rebuilt. Thirdly, the legal pipeline and the weaponization of religious liberty, a major strand of Stewart's narrative, is the carefully constructed legal pipeline that advances a theocracy-adjacent policy vision under the banner of religious liberty. She follows the rise of advocacy groups that recruit plaintiffs, identify favorable jurisdictions, and shepherd cases through appellate courts to produce precedents with nationwide reach. These organizations pair litigation with legislation, feeding model bills to statehouses and coordinating with executive branch allies to rewrite regulations. The cumulative effect is to redefine religious freedom from a shield for individual conscience into a sword to carve out exemptions and impose sectarian preferences in public life. Stewart charts how test cases are designed. Attorneys seek sympathetic fact patterns and plaintiffs who can be cast as conscience-driven victims of overbearing government or secular hostility. Strategic suits are timed to align with shifting judicial landscapes, with particular attention to courts more likely to grant emergency relief or to expand standing. Alongside, legal scholars in aligned institutions publish arguments that legitimize novel theories, which are then cited by judges and echoed in media circles. Philanthropic investment supports clerkship pipelines, judicial vetting, and training programs that normalize an interpretive framework favoring expansive religious claims and deference to executive or legislative power when it advances socially conservative aims. The outcomes ripple beyond the headlines. When courts expand the boundaries of compelled accommodation for institutions, the public sphere is reshaped. Publicly funded entities can discriminate under religious rationales. Healthcare access narrows where providers claim conscience exemptions. Curricular standards fracture as the state is compelled to treat religious claims as equivalent to secular expertise in educational and civic settings. Stewart ties this to broader democratic erosion. As the rules become more fragmented, and authority shifts from majoritarian processes to ideologically aligned benches, public accountability weakens. She also explores the paradox at the heart of the strategy. A movement that frames itself as defending religious freedom often advances policies that privilege one theological tradition while constricting the freedom of others and the non-religious. The same apparatus that champions rights for favored institutions supports penalties for dissenters, censors books and curricula, and prescribes intimate life choices. Stewart's reporting captures the dissonance between rhetoric and results, showing how legal victories achieved in the name of liberty can restrict the lived freedom of millions. The legal pipeline's power lies in its patience and precision. It trades elections that come and go for precedents that endure, shifting the baseline upon which all future political debates occur. Fourthly, manufactured grassroots, school boards, libraries, and local capture. Stewart devotes significant attention to the local front, where national networks convert money and messaging into durable control. She shows how coordinated campaigns target school boards, library boards, county commissions, and election offices with a formula that blends moral panic, procedural savvy, and strategic intimidation. The aim is not just to win seats, but to change the operating environment so that even non-captured bodies govern defensively, avoiding controversy, and preemptively narrowing services and curricula. The playbook starts with narrative seeding. Media allies and traveling speakers spotlight alleged abuses in schools and libraries, often drawing on viral stories detached from local facts. Training sessions and toolkits equip activists to flood meetings, file records requests, and pursue recall efforts. Candidates run on nonpartisan ballots while sharing a common slate of goals: book restrictions, curriculum overhauls, mandatory religious practices repackaged as values education, and discipline of educators who deviate from new orthodoxy. By casting routine governance as moral emergency, these campaigns lower the threshold for radical change. Stewart highlights the asymmetric burden this imposes. Educators and librarians suddenly become targets of surveillance, with out-of-context photos and lesson snippets circulated to whip up outrage. Administrators spend scarce time and resources responding to complaints, navigating threats, and hiring security. Experienced staff exit, replaced by less secure workers, or by activists whose loyalty is to the movement, not the institution. The loss of institutional memory accelerates capture. Elections administration is also a focal point. Stewart documents how activists pressure county officials, challenge voter rolls, recruit partisan poll workers, and attempt to seize oversight of counting and certification processes. The result is an environment where procedural failure or resignation becomes a pathway to appoint ideologically aligned replacements. The movement's localism is not accidental. It reflects a strategic insight that control over mundane processes, book purchasing, ballot curing, meeting rules, can have outsized effects on civil society and democratic participation. Yet Stewart also catalogs resilience. Communities have pushed back with broad nonpartisan coalitions. Educators and faith leaders have organized to depolarize meetings. Legal groups have defended libraries and speech. Voters have unseated extremist slates once their agendas became clear. The lesson is double-edged. Local arenas are vulnerable precisely because they depend on trust and volunteer service. But they are also fertile ground for renewal if communities invest in sustained participation, transparency, and support for public servants. Lastly, the theology of power: Christian nationalism, dominion, and authoritarian style. Underneath the tactics, Stewart argues, sits a coherent worldview that sacralizes hierarchy and merges national identity with a narrow religious tradition. She explores strands of Christian nationalism that treat the nation as chosen, the law as an instrument of religious order, and opponents as enemies of God. In this frame, pluralism is not a civic good, but a concession to be reversed. The goal is not coexistence but dominion, often framed through concepts like seven mountains of cultural influence. This theological style prizes strongman leadership, sees compromise as weakness, and leans on apocalyptic storytelling to justify extraordinary measures. Stewart's reporting traces how this worldview travels. Sermons elevate warrior masculinity and portray politics as a battlefield where God's champions must take territory. Conferences mix prophecy, conspiracy, and policy briefings, uniting different strands of the movement: traditional religious right institutions, entrepreneurial pastors, and political operatives, under a single banner of spiritual urgency. Prosperity teaching and grievance economics intersect. Abundance is promised to the faithful, while hardship is blamed on enemies and elites. The style is emotionally potent, offering belonging, purpose, and a simple map of a complex world. The implications for democracy are profound. When political opponents are framed as agents of evil, norms that constrain power feel like impediments to righteousness. Violence becomes thinkable, harassment becomes ministry, and legal constraints are cast as persecution. The movement's language of persecution also supplies a ready-made alibi for hypocrisy. Any accountability effort can be dismissed as bias, and any ethical breach can be excused as necessary in a war for civilization. Stewart does not treat faith as the problem. She distinguishes between authentic religious pluralism, which protects conscience for all, and a nationalist project that instrumentalizes faith to concentrate power. She highlights faith leaders who defend democracy, welcome diversity, and resist the allure of political idolatry. The challenge, she argues, is to recognize how a specific theological political synthesis hardens hearts against neighbors and readies adherents to accept authoritarian governance so long as it is draped in familiar religious symbols. From this analysis flow practical insights. Countering the movement cannot rely solely on policy rebuttals. It must also address identity, belonging, and meaning. Civic institutions need renewal at the level of narrative and community, not just law. Coalitions must include people of faith who can articulate a robust vision of religious liberty and shared citizenship. By naming the ideology and tracing its roots into law and culture, Stewart equips readers to confront it with clarity rather than fear. In conclusion, Money, Lies, and God is for anyone who senses that recent political turbulence is more than a sequence of isolated controversies and wants an integrated map of the forces at work. Concerned citizens will gain a framework to interpret the flood of headlines and to recognize patterns that repeat across states and issues. Faith leaders who value pluralism will find language to distinguish between genuine religious liberty and its weaponized counterfeit, along with examples of congregations that model a healthier public witness. Educators, librarians, and local officials will recognize the tactics used to pressure institutions and will come away with practical ideas for building resilience and community support. Journalists and researchers will appreciate Stewart's synthesis of financing, messaging, and law, which exposes how power moves through networks that often escape conventional beats. Policymakers and advocates will find actionable insights into where transparency, enforcement, and civic investment can yield the greatest democratic return. This book can benefit your life by transforming anxiety into informed agency. Understanding how dark money, sacralized disinformation, and legal engineering interact allows you to focus energy where it counts, supporting local institutions, insisting on disclosure and accountability, and building cross-ideological relationships that reinforce democratic norms. Stewart's work validates the intuition that small arenas matter and shows how everyday actions, attending a board meeting, backing quality local journalism, volunteering at elections, mentoring new civic participants, add up when coordinated with others. The narrative equips you to spot manipulation, protect your information diet, and talk with neighbors in ways that lower the temperature while raising the standard of truth. Why this book instead of others on similar terrain? Stewart brings a rare combination of strengths: deep investigative reporting, a clear-eyed grasp of theology's role in politics, and a gift for connecting granular detail to the big picture. Rather than merely sounding alarms, she names the mechanisms by which minority rule advances and offers practical leverage points for those who care about self-government. The book's scope, following money, messaging, legal strategy, and local capture, makes it a one-stop guide to understanding the current moment. It is rigorous without being academic, accessible without being superficial, and courageous in calling things by their right names. If you want a roadmap for defending a multi-faith, multiracial democracy rooted in truth and shared power, this is an essential addition to your shelf. If you would like to support Catherine Stewart, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.